I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events and the lesser told stories, ones you might not even know happened. Find History This Week on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Wow, we have a lot to get to this hour, and what we don't get to this hour, we'll get to tomorrow afternoon on the show. I'm Scoot. It is Wednesday afternoon. We're halfway to the weekend. You know, you heard that news with Chris Miller. We talked about it yesterday. The passenger train service between New Orleans and Mobile twice a day. That's going to be amazing. I mean, that's going to be really amazing. I would think about living on the Gulf Coast. I think about living in Bay St. Louis if it would be a service that I could take into to the station. It's so cool. I remember as a kid, I remember my parents, we had friends on the Gulf Coast, would put us on the train, and we'd take the train over. And I don't know whether it will be this way now, but when you go across the Wrigley's on the train track, going to the Gulf Coast from New Orleans, you can't see. You look out of the window of the train, and you can't see the bridge. You can't see any aspect of the bridge that you're on because the bridge is just like right underneath you. And it's really, really cool. And I just heard at the airport, it's 95 degrees with a heat index of 113. How hot do you think it is out on the tarmac with those people who are working around the plane, loading luggage, the jet engines, you know, firing up and the planes coming in? And it's got to be even hotter on that tarmac. So, yeah, it is just brutally, brutally hot. And when that heavier chance of rain went away, the hot temperatures came up. So, all right, we've got calls to get to, and we've got a lot to get to this hour. But somebody has found a video of me, and this is something that I noticed on the Scoot on the Air Facebook page that has come up as something that is recently commented on. Now, during the pandemic, I used to go every Thursday night. I used to go to 80s night in the quarter. And during the pandemic, I couldn't do that. So one Thursday night, and I'm at my apartment. I'm alone. We're all sheltered in and I live alone. And I decided, well, I'm just going to do 80s night here in my apartment. And I started dancing to 80s songs. And it every Thursday night. And it got to be a really big deal. People even today even will tell me about how they enjoyed that. But it was fun. I mean, it was stupid. I mean, I'm no dancer, but, you know, I like the 80s. I like dancing. And so I did the best I could. Well, on one of the 80s nights, I did Madonna, Like a Virgin. And I wore the outfit that she wore when she did the MTV Video Awards in 1984. It was sort of a mock mini dress, wedding dress. And I wore my white Docs. I wore the gloves. I had the veil. I had everything. Anyway, I see that somebody has brought that up, and so that's being commented on. So you can find that on the Scoot on the Air Facebook page. And, yeah, I'm wearing a dress. I'm a totally straight guy. Totally straight, and it was just fun to do this. And well, why did I do it? Well, because it was fun. And I mentioned earlier about, you know, men who wear dresses like, you know, Barney Fife on The Andy Griffith Show and Milton Berle. And Flip Wilson, on the Flip Wilson Show, he was Geraldine. Now, these might not have been technically drag queens, but they were men in dresses. And I don't know why people are so freaked out over this today. But if you're just tuning in, we were talking about the criticism and how some people freaked out over that opening segment of the opening ceremonies of the Olympics in Paris Friday night, where there was some small segment that some people think depicted the Last Supper, and there were drag queens. And there was one kind of disgusting thing where a guy's testicles were hanging out of a dress. And some parents have freaked out over that. One called the show a little while ago, and her kid saw it and went, well, what is that? And the only answer that a parent would have to give in that situation is, it's just a bunch of people dressed up. And any kid who lives in New Orleans understands Mardi Gras. And dressing up in costumes, or kids go to Halloween and they dress up in costumes. So that's a real easy explanation. But since people were freaking out over that whole segment, I couldn't help but ask the question, what negative result is coming from that? What negative impact is that going to have on America or Christianity? And nobody's come up with anything. Nobody thinks kids are going to turn gay because they saw it. Nobody thinks kids are going to start wearing dresses because they saw that. And so if there's no negative impact, why do you freak out over something? I mean, this is an example of what people do in America. They freak out over something that is nothing. it has like no serious impact. And there are no studies that show that drag queens have a negative impact on America. I mean, you know, my family, we went to the Quarter as kids. My family took us to the Quarter. We saw drag queens growing up. I mean, I wore that dress, that Madonna dress, because it was a fun bit. It was just like a bit. It was this fun, silly, stupid thing to do. So I did it. People are going to be at the Red Dress Run. Coleman brought this up earlier. People are going to be at the Red Dress Run this month. These people aren't gay. They're not drag queens. They're just doing this to have fun. And it's not going to have any negative impact on anybody. Oh, my God. What if you're downtown and your kids see a bunch of men in dresses? What are they going to think? What are you going to tell them? Why don't you just tell them they're just being silly? And that's all kids need to hear. All right. If you want to join us with a comment, the Oakenheart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. Again, a lot to get to, but let's get to your calls. Let's go to Bob in Metairie. Bob, thanks for hanging on. Welcome to WWL.
Hello, Scoot.
Hey, Bob.
How are you, Scoot? Thank you for taking my
good.
Call.
You're welcome.
And I just wanted to comment first off is a while back I was at a thrift shop. And I bought a Weezer T-shirt.
Cool.
I bought a T-shirt that said Weezer, and it had a picture of Beavis and Butthead on it.
Man, it doesn't get any more classic than that.
That's right. And I wear the T-shirt every time I have to cut the grass so my neighbors can see it.
Nice. Good for you. I'm proud of you, Bob.
Anyway, I wanted to make a comment about the opening ceremonies of the Olympics. I bust out laughing. Because I've been living here all my life. I spent a lot of time in the French Quarter, and when I saw the opening ceremonies of the Olympics, all I could do was laugh. I was waiting for Michael Palin to come out with his Roman helmet and say, "Where's my friend, Bigger Sticker?"
You know, Bob.
I wanted to say.
I love that you have a sense of humor about this, and you should. But this is how freaking uptight so many Americans are. They see something like this, and they have been conditioned to think it's going to have a negative impact on America. And yet, we've gone all day, and there's no legitimate negative impact that anybody thinks this is going to have. You can think it's inappropriate. I think it's inappropriate. I think it was wrong. But I didn't do it. I'm not the director of that. I didn't do that project. So it was wrong. But again, so what? I don't understand it. It's not going to have a negative impact on America. So just, you know, lighten up. Let's go to Mike in Metairie. Hey, Mike, welcome to the show.
Hey, Scoot. Good to talk to you.
Thanks.
Yeah, I agree with you in so many ways. And, I got to tell you, for all the callers before who say that you're not objective, they obviously don't listen to your show. You are about as down the middle as it comes, and I think that's great. You speak from a point of logic, which is lost in this country these days. You don't pick sides. I've heard you say before that you're basically a conservative, but you're not a right-wing conservative. Right. Unfortunately, the Republican Party doesn't even know the difference anymore, because I'm sort of the same. You know, I'd like to be, I call myself a liberal conservative.
I have old-fashioned
ideas, but I'm open to new ideas, and that's the thing, you know?
And, you know, you might be like me. You might be conservative when it comes to things like fiscal responsibility, personal accountability, the military, smaller government, lower taxes.
Absolutely.
But when it comes to social issues, you're liberal.
Exactly. And this whole idea of the dresses and all, first of all, it shows how ignorant people are, number one. They don't know art history. Number two, dare I say this, I was raised Catholic. I went to, you know, I'm a product of New Orleans Catholic schools from, you know, first grade all the way up through high school. And so I can say this as somebody who's been, you know, on the inside, so to speak. And I mean this with all due respect. There are a lot of ignorant religious people out there that take everything in the Bible as complete literal fact. And this is a big part of the problem, that these people don't have enough common sense. They don't, you know, it has nothing to do with worshiping God, because like you say, you can worship your God in your way and other people can worship their God in their way. But when they start interjecting their morality and their politics, and furthermore, the American culture, in my opinion, is so backwards when it comes to sexual issues. I mean, we would we would justify mass murder on television, and one show after another that's a crime drama and a murder mystery and 1.5 million television shows. But as soon as somebody shows a little TNA, we freak out.
No, you're right.
What is wrong with this country? We are so sexually immature. And I hate to say it, some of the most guilty people are Christians. They just, they're hung up on some stupid idea of sexuality, and they can't get over it. And I don't know if there's any cure other than education, which unfortunately most of them don't have.
So. You know, and I try to do that every afternoon. Mike, I'm really, really glad you called the show, and thanks for the comments. All right, if you're on hold, hang on. We also have some texts to get to. Here's one that says, who dictates the clothing we wear? Who sets clothing standards? I wear what I want to wear. Exactly. You wear what you want to wear.
Yeah, I like what Mike said. He said, he was a conservative liberal or a liberal conservative.
Liberal conservative, yeah.
Yeah, you know, for people like Mike who are like a liberal conservative, and how do you say you were? You're
radical moderate.
A radical moderate.
Yeah.
Maybe we should look into libertarianism. It seemed like it was a long, like I am. I'm a libertarian, and it seems like what you were describing is me, a libertarian, you know, socially, fiscally conservative, but yet when it comes to the social issues, I'm like, hey, if it doesn't harm anybody, you know, let live and let live. So maybe libertarianism, you know, you might want to look into that. Maybe you might find a new home, Scoop.
All right, Coleman. Ian is off today doing business for the station because he's our assistant program director and brand manager. And today he had to be in some meetings. So Coleman is our studio producer today. Again, if you're on hold, we're coming right back with more of your comments. And we've got some more text to get to, and Coleman will help us out with that. So there's a new docudrama coming up. Bio-docudrama. A Complete Unknown. It's about Bob Dylan. And you know who's playing Bob Dylan? Young actor Timothy Chalamet. And I'm looking at a picture of Timothy Chalamet as Bob Dylan. And, man, he looks awesome. And apparently his voice is very good and very much, well, it's good, but he's got it to where it sounds like Bob Dylan. Bob Dylan didn't have a good voice, but he's good at being Bob Dylan. So I'm looking forward to this this biodrama, A Complete Unknown, Timothy Chalamet starring as Bob Dylan. I'm Scoot on the Air, and we'll be right back with more of your comments on WWL.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events and the lesser told stories, ones you might not even know happened. Find History This Week on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
On the SOTA Rock Culture Calendar, we wish happy birthday to Gary Lewis of Gary Lewis and the Playboys. Gary Lewis, 79 years old today. He was at the Uncle Sam 4th of July jam at Lafayette Park, and had an interview with him. Really, really nice guy. Very impressed with him. All right, before I get back to your calls, there's a few things we have to cover. Maya Rudolph is going to return to Saturday Night Live to play Vice President Kamala Harris every week in the run-up to the election in November.
Good evening, America. I'm Vice President Kamala Harris.
Maya Rudolph has been sworn back into Saturday Night Live, where she's expected to play Vice President Harris ahead of the presidential election. The actress and comedian first played Harris in 2019 and won an Emmy for the role.
That's right. The senator from California is present.
She came back in 2020 along with Jim Carrey, who played President Biden.
We did it.
It's still unclear if anyone's coming back to play Donald Trump. Season 50 of SNL premieres in late September. Monica Ricks, CBS News.
Oh, that's going to be fun. And remember, everybody should have a sense of humor. So arrests at the U.S.-Mexico border have reached a new low.
U.S. authorities say United States-Mexico border arrests have plummeted about 30% in July to a new low for Joe Biden's presidency. That's according to two U.S. Customs and Border Protection officials who spoke to the Associated Press on the condition of anonymity. The U.S. Border Patrol is expected to arrest migrants about 57,000 times this month, down from over 83,000 arrests in June. That would be the lowest monthly tally since September of 2020. The halt on asylum applications would end if daily arrests dropped below 1,500 over a seven-day average, a scenario that Customs and Border Protection officials are preparing for. Jennifer King, Washington.
Hey, you know, if arrests at the border are down, and that is getting to be an improved situation, it's still probably a crisis. It's still a crisis, but at least it's getting better. Well, in my opinion, I think it's good if it's getting better. Some people may not agree with that. New polling shows a huge swing in support of a Democratic candidate, Kamala Harris, now that Biden has dropped out.
According to a new poll by the Associated Press and the NORC Center for Public Affairs Research, 8 out of 10 Democrats say they would be somewhat or very satisfied if Vice President Kamala Harris became the Democratic nominee for president. In a separate AP NORC poll taken after President Joe Biden's debate with former President Donald Trump, but before Biden dropped out of the race, only about 4 in 10 Democrats said they were somewhat or very satisfied that Biden was the Democratic Party's likely nominee for president. Americans are also more likely to say that Harris would make a good president than they were earlier in July, but they still see a tough contest ahead. 56% of adults who responded to the poll say that if Trump and Harris are the party's nominees for the general election in November, Trump is still more likely to win. Donna Water, Washington.
And a rally in Atlanta yesterday had Kamala Harris daring Donald Trump to debate her.
Vice President Harris told thousands of supporters in Atlanta that their help is essential in her White House bid.
The path to the White House runs right through this state.
Harris leaned into her record as a prosecutor and compared it to that of former President Donald Trump's 34 felony count convictions and pending indictments. Harris also said Trump has sharp criticism but is reluctant to debate.
As the saying goes, if you've got something to say...
Trump's campaign has announced that he will travel to Atlanta on Saturday for a rally. I'm Norman Hall.
I would love to see a debate between Trump and Kamala Harris. I mean, at least Kamala Harris would be awake. Simone Biles and Team USA earned their Redemption Tour gold by powering through the Olympics in the women's gymnastics competition.
The Redemption Tour ended in a familiar spot for Simone Biles atop the Olympic podium. The American gymnastics star and her singular brilliance powered a dominant U.S. women's team in the finals in Paris, with Biles at her show-stopping best.
After I finished vault, I was relieved. I was like, whew, because... at least no flashbacks or anything. But I did feel a lot of relief. And as soon as I landed vault, I was like, oh yeah, we're going to do this.
The Americans' total of 171.296 points was well clear of Italy and Brazil. Jordan Chiles began by drilling her double twisting Yurchenko vault. Chiles featured all four rotations while doubling as the Americans' hype woman. Suni Lee mixed elegance with grit while dazzling on beam and uneven bars, her two best events. I'm Geffen Kuhlbach.
Yeah, you know, Simone Biles gets up so high, it's almost like she, should experience a lot of heat re-entering the Earth's atmosphere. Got up to 11.8 feet last night, almost 12 feet in the air. She's incredible. And there's a comment from J.D. Vance. This was made during a Fox panel discussion. And J.D. Vance, who's Trump's vice presidential nominee, condemned Simone Biles, saying that she let her country down when she had that sort of mental breakdown. And admitted that she wasn't mentally able to go on, and she made that sacrifice. I thought that took a lot of courage for her to do that, and J.D. Vance bashed her for doing that. It's going to be interesting to see if he walks back on that comment, but it seems like it's difficult for some people to walk back on comments, that if they say something, they double down on it. And, you know, this would be a great opportunity for J.D. Vance to say, hey, you know what? I said that then, and that was wrong. Because I look at her today, and she is a true hero. She is a true role model. She is a true inspiration to young people and people everywhere. He has a chance to do that, but will he do it? But to condemn Simone Biles for going through something like she went through, I thought it took courage for her to step down and say, you know what, the team's better without me. Not many people would do that. All right, let's go to Country Slick. Country Slick, thanks for hanging on. You're on WWL.
Yeah, school. I got two things to say.
Okay.
I want to say this: just because you are, you know, you're a liberal, that don't mean you still don't like conservative things. Because I think, you know, the gay population, they want everybody to know they're gay. You know what I'm saying? They just go to the extreme to let.
Well, are you? Let me ask you this question: gay. Are you gay?
No, I'm not. But
okay.
What I'm saying
my question is: how do you speak for the gay community?
How do I speak for them? I work in the quarter, so I see them every day, and they're very loud, and they're just like the women. They're walking out here naked these days. I mean, what happened to common?
They're not naked. They're not naked.
Man, when I'm telling you, they're very revealing.
Don't say they're naked. But there are areas of the French Quarter that are for adults. We know that. But I don't know, it's all over. Listen, country.
They want everybody to know that they're gay,
You don't hear frat boys in the Quarter like getting drunk. Yeah, all right. The frat boys in the Quarter are making as much noise as anybody else.
I'm talking about in stores. I'm talking about everywhere, bro. That's cool.
Okay, well,
it's cool if you're gay. Okay, it's cool, but everybody don't need to know that you're gay.
Wait a minute, country. What if somebody is just being the way they are? I mean, I don't have gay people coming up to me and saying I'm gay. They come up to you and they say I'm gay.
Man, I see it all the time.
Country, they don't do that. No gay person is coming up to you in the Quarter saying, "Hey, country, I'm gay."
I'm not saying that, but I'm trying to tell you, you don't have to drown society with your way of life. We don't have to be drowned with that.
If you're in certain areas of the French Quarter, like Bourbon and St. Anne, or a couple of blocks down the street, you're going to see a lot of gay people. And guess what? If I were gay, I'd be proud of who I am. They're proud of who they are. But gay people are not walking up to people going, "Hey, I'm gay. I mean, you know, that's an exaggeration. And they're not naked. Sometimes they're scantily clad, but so are the women. What about the women that are wearing their pants down to where, you know, you can almost see the plumber's crack? Women have plumber's crack too. They're just not plumbers. Or women that have, barely something on up top. I mean, there are as many obnoxious heterosexuals in the Quarter as there are gay people. And I'm not saying that in support of gay people. I'm saying that based on my experience in the Quarter. And I go to the Quarter, and based on what I see, I'm standing up for the truth. And I don't want somebody like that to give you a false impression of the Quarter. And I don't speak for gay people, and neither does he. I think people want to lead their lives, and there are some gay people who are very flamboyant, and you know they're gay, but so what? There are frat boys in the Quarter. You know they're frat boys. They're loud, they're obnoxious, and they let you know they're frat boys.
Yeah, that's what I was about to ask. Do you think gay people complain when they go out and they see heterosexual couples kissing and holding hands? Do they say, "Why do they keep throwing a heterosexual straight lifestyle in my face? I just want to eat. Nobody has to know that they're straight. Why do they
That's a great point. They're straight people. They're just all over the place, and they're just making me feel very, very uncomfortable. Oh, gosh. Janice, you're on WWL. Do you have something to add to our show today?
Yes. I'm going to make you a promise, and I'm going to hold to it.
Really?
First of all, let me say that the times that I have raised my voice, I am sorry for that, and I do apologize. Now, if you will let me talk for a second, and when I'm finished, I will keep my mouth shut and let you talk, okay?
Thank you. And your apology is accepted. You didn't really have to apologize. Just, you know.
Well, I wanted to. I wanted to because I don't mean to raise my voice.
Well,
I truly don't do it.
You shouldn't get into a random. You shouldn't get so upset about those things. You should state your case.
And
it's okay to be passionate, Janice, but you really go off the wall.
Well, I'm sorry. For one thing, if when I speak, you would let me speak without interrupting me,
I let you speak all the
time.
But Janice, I'm going to let you continue to talk, but when I start to talk, you shout over me. So go ahead and finish.
Well, I wish we could each talk without the other one, you know.
I wish you could.
Let me finish, and then I'll let you finish.
Okay.
And I think that's respectable, and, you know. Here, first and foremost, I don't know if she's even still listening. But if that lady that called before, Miss Julie, is listening, I want to thank you very much, Miss Julie, for speaking up on my behalf. I thought that was awfully nice of you. And when Miss Julie was saying something about something that Kamala Harris had said, you interrupted her. But she was right because I forget what it was now, but I heard it too. I heard it come out of Kamala Harris's mouth. It wasn't hearsay or made up or anything like that. Whatever it was that Ms. Julie said, it was really true. And here's another thing. I know you don't mean to do it. I know it's not on purpose, okay? Not meant to do it. But yes, you do berate me. You really do. You interrupt me when I'm speaking. You'll tell me, oh, you don't do nothing. You don't go anywhere. You don't do nothing.
Janice, don't mock me. I don't interrupt you unless I have something to say. And it's because you rant and you don't let me have a chance to talk. If you were willing to have a conversation instead of yelling, then I wouldn't interrupt. But I have to interrupt you sometimes because you're saying bogus stuff on the air.
No, it's not. A lot of things I say are not bogus.
Well, when you say something bogus, I'm going to interrupt.
When it comes down to these people today, yeah, bogus on your side, what you think is bogus.
No, facts
are
facts.
Just like you told Miss Julie that what she said about Kamala wasn't true, and it was.
All right, well, let me ask you this question. When did Kamala Harris say she wants to take our guns away?
I heard her say it the other day.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, I didn't hear
She's speaking about a mandatory buyback. Mandatory is the word here, though. Mandatory really sticks out. And it, a mandatory thing, but in other words, they're going to force you to do with certain types of guns. But, of course, they might give you $5 or something.
All right, now I have to get to a break, which is sometimes why I interrupt.
Yes.
Now, Janice, I didn't hear her say
that.
And can you understand that I have a show to do? I work before and after the show. I don't hear everything. If I had heard Kamala Harris say that, I would say she was wrong for saying it. She was wrong. Mm-hmm. And nobody's going to take your guns away. So just because she said that doesn't mean anybody's going to take your guns away.
Yeah. Well, no, it's just the point I'm trying to make is when Miss Julie said it, you said it wasn't true or anything. No, but I understand you're working on your show and doing your thing, so I know you don't get to listen to everything. And I know you got more calls and you got commercials. So on that note, I'm going to let you go. Okay. Bye-bye.
All right, Janice. I still don't parade Janice. She gets out of control sometimes, and sometimes I have to comment. That's all. Janice, I'm glad we had a civil conversation. But I did get a text a few minutes ago from somebody who said, oh, now there are two Janices, meaning Julie in Metairie and Janice in New Orleans. I didn't hear Kamala Harris say that. But my point to Julie was, nobody's taking your guns away. I mean, you know, there's plenty of things to criticize Kamala Harris on. She's not going to take your guns away. The Supreme Court has been very clear on this, and the Supreme Court has been clear on this when it's been liberal. The Supreme Court is very clear on this. Nobody's going to take your guns away. Please don't bring up that situation that happened during Katrina. Okay, so there was a mistake made, and they went door-to-door taking guns. That was wrong. But nobody's going to take your guns away. So don't let the right-wing radicals go around and convince you that they're about to take your guns away, because they're not. Because Uncle Scoot is here to tell you, you're not going to lose your guns. And there's not going to be a mandatory buyback. You want to sell your guns, fine, but there's not going to be a mandatory buyback. And if she said that, she was wrong to say it, but she can say it all she wants, it's not going to be reality. So just relax about that. All right, if you're on hold, we're going to come back with more of your comments. Wow, there's just been so much to talk about this afternoon. On this day in 1971, on the SOTA Rock Culture Calendar, this was the number one song in the country. James Taylor, You've Got a Friend. Carole King actually wrote this song, and it was on the Tapestry album, which came out in February of 1971. James Taylor played guitar on the track and decided to record it on his own. And it was a huge hit for James Taylor, number one in the country on this day in 71. But I thought I would let you hear a little bit of Carole King doing it from her Tapestry album. And Carole King does a great job with her song. But boy, there was just something about the quality of James Taylor's voice with that song that just really, in my opinion, made it a James Taylor song. I'm Scoot, and we'll be back. And you know what? That was 1971. That was a time when a young generation was talking about, you know, being friends, that Americans should come together and be friends, and that you can depend on me. And if you need me, you can call me. In America today, if somebody disagrees with you and they need help, there are Americans who I don't think would help them. I'm serious. I think there are people who would not help somebody in need if they disagreed with them politically. In fact, apparently political opinions are leading to divorce. We're going to talk about that on the show tomorrow afternoon. We'll be back on WWL. I can't imagine the sight of this, but on this day in 2006 on the SOTA Rock Culture Calendar, Boy George was ordered to community service. He was ordered to pick up trash on New York City's streets after pleading guilty to a false reporting charge of an incident. He called police on a bogus burglary charge for his Lower Manhattan apartment, and responding officers found cocaine inside. You got cocaine in your apartment. There's really no burglary. Why are you calling the police? I don't know. Maybe Boy George wanted to be frisked or something. I don't know. All right, let's go to Jeff in New Orleans. Jeff, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Hey, Scoot. Thanks for sharing your airwaves with me.
Thanks.
Very gracious of you.
Thanks for
calling. I'll be as swift as I can. Hey, thank you. Listen, I was going to give you my take on the Olympic imagery we saw.
Okay.
You've been asking, like, I don't want to misstate your words. What is the harm that it can do? How have you been saying it?
Yeah, well, I don't. What is the negative result that that's going to have on America or Christianity?
Oh, perfect. So it wasn't just the Last Supper, right? There was also a lot of other demonic imagery on the stage that night, and specifically the imagery of the golden calf. All right. Now, I know Mike from wherever he called in, Mike spent the first 16 years of his life in first through 12th grade at Catholic school, so he's got the insider information. But the story of the golden calf in the Bible is such that it's a symbol of idolatry and apostasy, or the rejection of a previously confessed faith. The story of the golden calf is told in Exodus 32 and 1 Kings 12 of the Old Testament. Now, in the story, the Israelites worship a golden calf, and God is so angry that he will stop showing his presence among the people. Now, if that was a pagan, satanic worship ceremony that nobody really even understands, and we're mocking God, and the result is that he stops showing his presence among the people, I can't think of anything worse for this country or this world.
Oh, no, but Jeff, explain to me, what do you think is going to result from that? Do you think people are going to become Satan worshipers?
I think that God may turn his back on us.
Well, that's a concern that you could have about a lot of different things, not just
yeah,
that.
Yeah, but when you take to the world stage,
you can't. I mean,
and
you can't
worship Satan.
I mean,
it's not good for humanity.
All right. Well, you know, if there are people who are religious like that, and that they fear that their behavior will cause
the
wrath of
God. Right? You either believe the Bible or you don't.
Well,
right?
Jeff, I'm not. But you're not giving me a negative impact that's going to have, other than God's going to seek His wrath on America.
Wait, so
I don't
God
think that's going to happen.
Turns his back and stops showing His presence in this world. That's not a negative impact.
I don't think that's going to happen. I don't believe that.
I'm not asking you if you think it's going to happen. I'm asking you, do you think that's a negative impact?
If God
you
really...
Think what
if,
you want.
If
you thought it was funny,
if,
right? Who cares what you think? Do you think that's a negative impact?
If God did that, that would be a negative impact, but you can't speak for God and you don't know that God's going
to
do
fair enough. And to your point, I would never speak for God, but you made a comment earlier to a guy, you asked him if he was gay, and then you said, well, you can't speak for all gays, as if any gay person could speak for gay people. That was a ridiculous thing you said.
Yeah, well, no one gay can speak for all gays. No black can speak for all blacks. I understand that. Yeah, I get that.
But you made the point that because he wasn't gay, he couldn't speak on behalf of the gay community.
Well, yeah,
so,
but he was pretty bold to say, this is the way gays think. And when somebody does that on the show, I'm going to call him on it, even though nobody speaks for any one group. You know, if you want to get into an argument, we can get into an argument another day.
I've got a break coming up.
I don't think that the idea that they did that, that the French did that, I mean, then, you know, if what you say is true, then God's going to take wrath on the French, not on America. And so to project that, like, if we did this, like, that's like saying if people don't go to church, God's going to seek their wrath on us. Or if people don't believe a certain thing, God's going to seek his wrath on us. You know, the God that I know is a very forgiving God. And I don't think God's going to punish people because the French did something in the opening. So you're still not giving me a real negative impact that's going to realistically have a concrete, organic result, negative result on America from that which happened in the opening ceremony. You know, again, to predict that God's going to do this, then, well, what about all of the Satan worshipers out there who are worshiping Satan? You think God's going to seek revenge on all of us because they're doing that? And you weren't responsible for that. God's not going to turn his back or her back, which you don't know either, his or her back. God's not going to turn his or her back on you because of what the French did in that opening. So again, we've gotten to the end of the show, and especially when it comes to the children, which is what people are so concerned about, that bit in the opening is not going to have a negative impact on kids, on America, or on Christianity. And if it does anything to your Christian faith, then I would suggest that your Christian faith is not as strong as you might think it is. If you want to join, well, actually, we don't have any time. We're going to come back to wrap up the show. If you want to join us with a comment, call tomorrow afternoon. we'll have a lot to get to. All right. As always, it's fun, but yeah, we'll be back to wrap up the show here on WWL. We are halfway to the weekend. All right, to our last caller, I mean, the Olympics don't even recognize God. The whole Olympics are based on the gods of Mount Olympus. I mean, if you want to argue that's offensive to God, go ahead and argue it, but I think it's ridiculous. I want to thank Diane Newman, our program director, brand manager, assistant program director, brand manager, senior producer of Scoot on the Air, Ian Hoke, studio producer, Coleman, market manager, Dan Barron. Thanks to Chris Miller and Joe Cardosi, and thanks to you for joining us. I'm Scoot. Love you, New Orleans. I can't imagine the sight of this, but on this day in 2006 on the SOTA Rock Culture Calendar, Boy George was ordered to community service. He was ordered to pick up trash on New York City's streets after pleading guilty to a false reporting charge of an incident. He called police on a bogus burglary charge for his Lower Manhattan apartment, and responding officers found cocaine inside. You got cocaine in your apartment. There's really no burglary. Why are you calling the police? I don't know. Maybe Boy George wanted to be frisked or something. I don't know. All right, let's go to Jeff in New Orleans. Jeff, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Hey, Scoot. Thanks for sharing your airwaves with me.
Thanks.
Very gracious of you.
Thanks for
calling. I'll be as swift as I can. Hey, thank you. Listen, I was going to give you my take on the Olympic imagery we saw.
Okay.
You've been asking, like, I don't want to misstate your words. What is the harm that it can do? How have you been saying it?
Yeah, well, I don't. What is the negative result that that's going to have on America or Christianity?
Oh, perfect. So it wasn't just the Last Supper, right? There was also a lot of other demonic imagery on the stage that night, and specifically the imagery of the golden calf. All right. Now, I know Mike from wherever he called in. Mike spent the first 16 years of his life in first through 12th grade at Catholic school, so he's got the insider information. But the story of the golden calf in the Bible is such that it's a symbol of idolatry and apostasy, or the rejection of a previously confessed faith. The story of the golden calf is told in Exodus 32 and 1 through 12 of the Old Testament. Now, in the story, the Israelites worship a golden calf, and God is so angry that he will stop showing his presence among the people. Now, if that was a pagan, satanic worship ceremony that nobody really even understands, and we're mocking God, and the result is that he stops showing his presence among the people, I can't think of anything worse for this country or this world.
Well, no, but Jeff, explain to me, what do you think is going to result from that? Do you think people are going to become Satan worshipers?
I think that God may turn his back on us.
Well, that's a concern that you could have about a lot of different things, not just
yeah,
that.
Yeah, but when you take to the world stage,
you can't. I mean,
and
you can't
worship Satan.
I mean,
it's not good for humanity.
All right. Well, you know, if there are people who are religious like that, and that they fear that their behavior will cause
the
wrath of
God. Right? You either believe the Bible
Jeff,
or you don't.
Well,
right?
Jeff, I'm not. But you're not giving me a negative impact that's going to have, other than God's going to seek His wrath on America.
Wait, so
I don't
God
think that's going to happen.
Turns his back and stops showing His presence in this world. That's not a negative impact.
I don't think that's going to happen. I don't believe that.
I'm not asking you if you think it's going to happen. I'm asking you, do you think that's a negative impact?
If God
you
really...
Think what
if,
you want. If you thought it was funny,
if,
right? Who cares what you think? Do you think that's a negative impact?
If God did that, that would be a negative impact, but you can't speak for God and you don't know that God's going
to
do
fair enough. And to your point, I would never speak for God, but you made a comment earlier to a guy. You asked him if he was gay, and then you said, well, you can't speak for all gays, as if any gay person could speak for gay people. That was a ridiculous thing you said.
Yeah, well, okay, no one gay can speak for all gays. No black can speak for all blacks. I understand that. Yeah, I get that.
But you made the point that because he wasn't gay, he couldn't speak on behalf of the gay community.
Well, yeah, so, but he was pretty bold to say, this is the way gays think. And when somebody does that on the show, I'm going to call him on it, even though nobody speaks for any one group. You know, if you want to get into an argument, we can get into an argument another day.
I've got a break coming up.
I don't think that the idea that they did that, that the French did that, I mean, then, you know, if what you say is true, then God's going to take wrath on the French, not on America. And so to project that, like, if we did this, like, that's like saying if people don't go to church, God's going to seek their wrath on us. Or if people don't believe a certain thing, God's going to seek his wrath on us. You know, the God that I know is a very forgiving God. And I don't think God's going to punish people because the French did something in the opening. So you're still not giving me a real negative impact that's going to realistically have a concrete, organic result, negative result on America from that which happened in the opening ceremony. You know, again, to predict that God's going to do this, then, well, what about all of the Satan worshipers out there who are worshiping Satan? You think God's going to seek revenge on all of us because they're doing that? And you weren't responsible for that. God's not going to turn his back or her back, which you don't know either. His or her back. God's not going to turn his or her back on you because of what the French did in that opening. So, again, we've gotten to the end of the show, and especially when it comes to the children, which is what people are so concerned about, that bit in the opening is not going to have a negative impact on kids, on America, or on Christianity. And if it does anything to your Christian faith, then I would suggest that your Christian faith is not as strong as you might think it is. If you want to join, well, actually, we don't have any time. We're going to come back to wrap up the show. If you want to join us with a comment, call tomorrow afternoon. we'll have a lot to get to. All right. As always, it's fun. But yeah, we'll be back to wrap up the show here on WWL. We are halfway to the weekend. All right. To our last caller, I mean, the Olympics don't even recognize God. The whole Olympics are based on the gods of Mount Olympus. I mean, if you want to argue that's offensive to God, go ahead and argue it, but I think it's ridiculous. I want to thank Diane Newman, our program director, brand manager, assistant program director, brand manager, senior producer of Scoot on the Air, Ian Hoke, studio producer Coleman, market manager Dan Barron. Thanks to Chris Miller and Joe Cardosi, and thanks to you for joining us. I'm Scoot. Love you, New Orleans.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events. Major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.